Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. We begin today's shiur midway down Daf Kuf Nun Aleph. You will notice a Mishnah. We continue with the general topic of Machshichin Al Hatchum. In our previous shiur, we mentioned that one is not allowed to go to the edge of his Shabbos boundary. The Shabbos boundary is a belt around a city, or around a locale of 2,000 amos, beyond which one is not allowed to walk on Shabbos. The idea of machshichin has to do with drawing near to that edge before the end of Shabbos in anticipation of getting closer to some type of purpose or activity or locale destination after Shabbos. So the Mishnah teaches here that which we have already learned by the Gemara having cited this Mishnah, Machshichin al hatchum lefakeach al iske kalo v'al iske hameis lehavi lo oroin v'tachrichim. One can go to the edge of his tchum in order to take care of needs relating to a bride or a wedding. A kala is technically a bride, but we're speaking about wedding matters, and taking care of matters relating to a corpse and its burial. And the Mishnah spells out, for example, the bringing of a coffin and shrouds. Nochri shehevi chalilin b'shabbos lo yisfoi b'hem Yisrael elo im kein bo mimokom korov. Nochri is a Gentile who brought chalilin. Chalilin are flutes, a wind instrument that were used in a funeral service as part of the eulogizing and mourning over the dead. Chalilin, flutes, were used. So our Mishnah says that if a Gentile brought flutes for a Jew, and he brought them on Shabbos, so the Jew is not to use them unless Elohim came bo mimokom korov, unless the Gentile brought them from a nearby location. The Gemara will discuss this when we get into the Gemara. Osu lo oron v'chofru lo kever. If a Gentile made for a Gentile a coffin and dug a grave, once again, a coffin made or grave dug for a Gentile, and it was done on Shabbos, Yikover boy Yisrael, a Jew can be buried in that. The im bishvil Yisrael, however, if it was prepared on Shabbos for a Jew, lo yikover bo elomis, then he shall not be buried in there ever. The Gemara. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side where the topic heading appears, chalilin shibo mimokom korov, flutes that came from a nearby locale. Haim tzrichim yediyah vadoyis kidei lahokel. Does the halacha require positive knowledge in order to be lenient? O maspik she'efshur litlos l'kula, or is it enough that we can say out of doubt that maybe we have a lenient situation and thereby rely on that? So now the Gemara. And that what our introduction might have sounded a bit abstract, but the Gemara will clarify. My mimokom korov. When the Mishnah says that if the Gentile brought the flutes for a Jew from a mokom korov, from a nearby place, what is meant by nearby? So, Rav Omar, and you'll notice with our markings, we've emphasized with a double underline the two shittas, Rav and Shmuel. So Rav says, Mimokom korov mamish. Now Rashi adds the main point here, And he says, Klomar, Rashi says, Klomar, this means to say, Shiyadu alanu birur, Birur hadavor demimokom korov bol, Shiroinum shahoyu beveso. We saw, we know with positive knowledge that the flutes came from a nearby location. And Rashi's example is that we saw them in the house of that Gentile. So only under those circumstances do we allow the use of those flutes after Shabbos. Shmuel Omar. Shmuel is more lenient, and he says, Chayshinon Shema Chutz L'choma Lanu. If we look in Rashi, Shmuel Omar, Chayshinon Shema Chutz L'choma Lanu. Lanu means they rested, or lino. Afilu Hevi Michutz L'ir. Even if the Gentile brought them from outside the city, Anu Toilim Lahatir, we explain leniently, the Omer Shema Besoch Atchum Lanu Erev Shabbos. Maybe these flutes were within the Shabbos Tchum boundary as Shabbos entered. The Softin Bohen B'motzoi Shabbos Miyad, and they can be used for the eulogizing immediately at the departure of Shabbos. And Rashi points out that the word v'chayshinon nami aminin l'kula, the word chayshinon, even though in general it has a stringent sound to it, nevertheless it can be used in the context of leniency, as the Gemara in Maseches Chagiga says. And now, if we just skip a couple lines in Rashi, we squiggle under line, where it says, Ushmuel hochi ka'omar masnisen. According to Shmuel, the Mishnah would be understood thusly. Lo yispod bohem Yisrael. The Jew cannot use these flutes. Elohim ken yesh litlos shebo mimokom korov. Unless he has room for explaining that it came from a nearby place. Ulafuke biyadua de michutz l'tchumbo. To the exclusion of a case where you know that they came from beyond the Shabbos boundary. Now we continue in the Gemara. There is a parenthesis section that is here courtesy of the Gra, the Hagoyis HaGra, and we pick up after the parentheses, Utnan Kavose Dishmuel, and the reading that we're following again follows the Hagoyis HaGra, and one can find this also in the Rashi in his Lishno Achrino explanation, which is found toward the end of the narrow lines in Rashi where we have a squiggle underlined Lishno Achrino and a number 2 there. So we're following this approach that the source that the Gemara brings now is here to support Shmuel. So the source that you can see in a frame says, Ir Shisrav Enochim Dorim Ba, a city that has a mixed community of Jews and non-Jews, the Hoysa Ba Merchot Samrachetzis B'Shabbos, and there is a bathhouse that people are bathing in on Shabbos. We've spoken about this in the past, that one is not allowed to benefit from activities that are non-Shabbos activities, even if they're done by a Gentile, but they're done for a Jew. Now, in this town, we have a bathhouse that naturally has hot water in it, and the hot water is boiled up on Shabbos. Who was it boiled up for? So, the source continues and says, Im Roiv Nochrim, if the majority of the town are non-Jews, then lo erev rochets bo miad. Then, upon the departure of Shabbos in the evening, a Jew can use it immediately. Im roiv Yisrael, if the majority of the community are Jews, yamtin ad kideshi chamu cham. And then you have to wait after Shabbos the amount of time it would take to heat up the water before you can use the bathhouse. Mechza, if the population is even, Yamtin ad kidei shiyachamu chamin. Then you must wait that amount of time that we already mentioned. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Beambati Ktano, Im Yesh Bo Roshus, Rochets Bo Miad. if you're dealing with a small ambati, a small bath, if there is a roshus, that's an important individual that is in that community, then a Jew can use that immediately after Shabbos without having to wait. We take a look at the Rashi, you'll notice there's a double star toward the end of the narrow lines, and we read the Rashi, Umaisi siyata l'Shmuel, we're bringing a support to Shmuel's more lenient ruling above, Mida Rebbe Yehuda, the Talino Nekula, where you see that explain, Talino literally means is we suspend something or we hang something. So we're hanging on to a possibility that the ambati was heated up for this important individual, a minister level individual, and the Jew can, if that be the case, so we say that the bath was heated up for him. So you can see how we're explaining. We don't know either way, but since there's room for explaining that it was heated up for this Gentile minister, the Jew therefore can use the bath right after Shabbos. That's called Talinon Lekula. And using that idea, so too with the flutes that were brought on Shabbos for the Jew, if there is a possibility that they were brought from within the Shabbos boundary, from within the Tchum of Shabbos, so we allow the Jew to use them immediately after Shabbos. Let's continue in the Gemara. My Roshus, what is meant by Roshus? We already explained it by mentioning that it's a government or minister level individual. So Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav Yitzchok Bereid Rav Yehuda Im Yesh Bo Odom Choshuv Sheyesh Lo Asor Avodim. If in the community there is a person of distinction that has 10 slaves, Shemechamim In Lo Asor Kum Kumin Bevas Achas, that are capable of heating up 10 flasks of water for him in one shot, Be'ambati K'tano Mutur Lirchotz Bo Miyad. So with regard to a small bath, where this scenario could very well have taken place, so when it comes to Saturday night, a Motzoi Shabbos, the Jew can use it immediately, relying on the possibility that this scenario had actually taken place. Osu lo oron v'chofu lo kever. The Mishnah said that if a coffin or grave were prepared for the Gentile, then a Jew can be buried there. The Gemara asks, Amai, why can the Jew be buried there immediately? Hocho nami yantin b'chdei shiasu. Should there not be a requirement of the Jew waiting the amount of time it would take to make or prepare these things? On the grounds that maybe it was done for a Jew. Omar Ula Ba'oimed Basratya. We're talking about a case of the grave was in a astratya, as a plaza, a public thoroughfare, a public area, which indicates this was definitely not done for a Jew. Jews do not allow themselves or practice burial in such public areas. So the Gemara says, Tenach Kever. That explains the case of the use of the Kever, of the grave, for the Jew immediately after Shabbos, being that it was clearly not prepared for a Jew. Oron Ma'i Kol Ha'Maimar. What about the law regarding the coffin? How do we have an indication of such a certainty that it was not, or that it was done for the Gentile? Amar Biavo b'mutal al kivra, where the oron, where the coffin is lying on that grave in the public thoroughfare. So it indicates that the oron was designed for use in that grave, which was clearly not for a Jew. The Mishnah, and we ought to note that from this point in the Gemara, there will be a great deal of preoccupation, we'll say, with matters concerning the dead and the corpse, etc. So we continue. Oisim kol tzorchei hames, all corpse-related matters can be done. And we're talking about Shabbos. So the term kol is something that's going to be needed, that's going to require explanation later. The Mishnah continues, sochin. Sochin is the smearing on of oil, umadichin also, and it can be, the corpse can be bathed, can be washed, uvat shlo yaziz bo aver, provided you don't move any limbs of the corpse. Rashi gives examples, not to pick up its arm or leg or its eyelids. Shonten es hakar mitachto, a pillow can be removed from underneath it. Umatilin oisoi al hachoil, and as a result, the body will then be lying directly on the earth. Bishvil sheyamtin, so that there is a delay in the decomposition. We are continuing at the top of Omid Beis. The Rashi points out at the very top, Shiyamtin, this idea of causing a delay in the rotting, Shelo Yasriach Machmas Chom Hasadin Vakorim, so that it doesn't decay as a result of the heat in the sheets and the pillows and mattresses. Therefore, it's allowed to have the mattress or the pillow on which the body is lying to be slipped out from under it, and the body would then end up on directly on the cold floor. Kushrin es halefi, the jaw of the corpse, can be tied, lo shiale, not tied tautly in such a way that the jaw will be raised, because that would be a violation of moving a limb. Elo shelo yosef, just to a point of tautness that the jaw won't continue to open. V'chein kirish nishbura soimchen oisa besafsol o barukos hamita. This point in the mission is not related to the corpse, but if a person is in a house where a ceiling beam, koraz, a beam, broke, so it can be supported by a safsal, a bench, or a bed, literally bed legs, or we'll say the bed frame. Those are the arukos hamita, which is the horizontal parts of a bed frame with legs attached to it. Lo shita'ale, not that the beam shall be pushed back into place. Tala literally is raised, because that would be a problem of bone, of construction, on Shabbos, which is strictly forbidden. Elo shelo yosef, the positioning of the safsol, the bench, or the bed frame, is such that the beam won't continue to descend. We continue now in the Gemara with a question, and the question lasts a couple of lines, as our marking indicates. The Omar of Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Maise betamido shel Rebbe Meir, shenichnas achol of the Beis HaMerchatz. Was there not an incident where a student of Rebbe Meir followed him, Rebbe Meir, into a bathhouse on Shabbos, bikesh lahadiach karka, and he wanted to water down, to pour water on the floor? Omar lo ein madichin. And Rebbe Meir says, you cannot do that. And losuch karka, this student wanted to smear oil on the floor. Omar loy ein sochin. And Rebbe Meir says, no, you can't do that either. So what do we see? We see from here something like the ground, in this case, something that you cannot move around on Shabbos. So you cannot water it down, nor can you smear oil on it. So using this prohibition, carry it back to our Mishnah, there should be no allowance of being madiach or sochin es hames. Just like you cannot move the mace, you shouldn't be allowed to water it down or smear oil. The Gemara answers, karka bekarka michlefa. The din of karka, this law, this karka, this ground restriction, is not based on the issue of moving the ground, moving dirt, but rather it has to do with smoothing down the ground. It's called mashvi gumos. And therefore, with regard to watering down or smearing oil on the ground, there's an imminent fear that that might lead to the smoothing out of the ground. If there are any depressions or any unevenness in the ground, by leveling it, you're in violation of an Isur of Boneh on Shabbos. However, mace bekarka lo michlaf, to allow the watering or smearing oil on a body, that won't lead one to think that one will be allowed to do that on the ground. So that with, as once again, direct oil or watering on the dirt floor is restricted, but doing the same thing to a body is not restricted, because the fear of some type of shove, of serious level or Torah level violation taking place, just doesn't exist. We continue in the Gemara, taking note of the little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, which draws your attention to Amud Aleph, as the note indicates, where we go back to the word kol that was in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said you can do all tzorcha ames. And we've said this numerous times in learning Gemara, that when the Mishnah uses the expression kol, or klal, it's a general expression with the intention of including something that wasn't stated. So here the Gemara asks, kol lasuye mai, the kol expression in the Mishnah is coming to include what? What that wasn't already spelled out? Answer, lasuye ha de tana rabbanan, the Mishnah's intent is to include that which is taught in the following source. Before we continue with the Gemara, we should just note that the topic heading on the side indicates Kreso Shel Meis Misbakas, the stomach of the corpse when it's decomposing, it eventually splits open. Another point to mention before we continue further into this sugya, and we mentioned a few minutes ago that we will be preoccupied with matters relating to the dead for quite a while. In fact, till Daf Kuf Nun Gimel, this will be our point of attention. In bearing that in mind, we will also we have a note in a couple of lines where we want to emphasize Koheles Perek Yud Beis. So we're going to say it now. We might end up repeating ourselves later, but we're going to be looking into a numerous psukim that are featured in that section, and we're going to use a marking to the side of the Gemara text where the psukim are featured, and using a diamond to emphasize the Koheles related psukim. So now we're going back to the issue of the kol in the Mishnah, kol tzorchemes, all corpse-related matters one is allowed to do on Shabbos. Well, what does that include? La suye ha de Torah Rabbanan, we said it comes to include. La suye means to include that which is taught in the following source. Mevin klei mekar u klei matchis. One can bring vessels that are mekar, from the word kar, so things that are cold, and klei matchis, vessels that are metallic. They are, generally speaking, colder than the environment in which they are found. So umanichan al kreso, and they're placed on the belly of the corpse, kidei shelo yehei tafuach, so that it doesn't bloat. Upoitkin es nikovov, and the orifices of the corpse are plugged up, kidei shelo tikones bohen horuach, so that air, wind, doesn't enter them. V'af shloimoy omar b'chochmaso, and Shlomo, who is the author of Sefer Koheles, made reference to this, that the kreso, that the stomach of the corpse bloats and splits. And it says in the Pasuk Koheles, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Vav, Ad asher lo yerosek chevel hakesef, ze chut hashedra. The psukim here are dealing with an old age and the impending death of an individual. So this pasuk, which says "Achlo yerosek chevel hakesef," which has to do with until the silver rope doesn't snap, ze chut hashedra. It's the reference to the spinal cord. The spinal cord being white, like the color of kesef, silver, Hence the reference to it in the pasuk. The Torutz Gulas Hazav Ze Amo. The Torutz is the crushing of the Gulas Hazav, the golden gula. This is a reference to the Amo. The Amo is the male organ. The term gula is Rashi is explained by Rashi a reference to pits of water or water springs, and the Amo is the male organ, which is the spring from which life is generated. V'tishover kad al mabua has to do with the breaking of a pitcher on the stream. Ze akeres. So this is really what we're bringing this source in for, to talk about the splitting, the breaking of the stomach. Vinorots hagalgal el habor. The word galgal is taken to is associated with galal. Galal is refuse or feces, dung. El habor is a reference that falls into its mouth. Ze perish. That's the dung. V'chein hu omer vozorisi perish al panechem perish chagechem. And this pasuk also indicates the scattering of human refuse on their faces, and the perish is chagechem. The Gemara will explain this a little further. Omar Rav Huna ve'amri law, another version name wise. Omar Rav Chago Elu b'nei Odom, the pasuk of Zorisi Perish al Pnechem Perish Chagechem, which by the way was from Malachi Perik Beis, is a reference to b'nei Odom, people she manichem divrei Torah, that leave aside or abandon the study of Torah, v'oisin kol yemehem kechagim, and pursue a life that's focused on the pursuit of pleasures, called bodily, physical pleasures. Omar Rebbe Levi, Omar Rav Popi, Omar Rebbe Yeshua, la'achar shloisha yomim, after 3 days since one's demise, kresoi nivkas, the belly splits, v'nofeles loy al ponov, and falls on his face, v'omeres lo, and announces, so to speak, toil ma shenosato bi, take that which you placed inside of me. The Mishnah. Ein ma'atzmin es ha'meis b'shabbos. Ma'atzmin has to do with closing the eyes. So, even though the person is dead, one cannot close his eyes because of the problem of mazes afer. Now, we mention even though he's dead, because we know that when a person is in the throes of death, it is also to touch the body for fear of hastening its death. Here we're saying even after it's dead, one cannot close its eyes. V'lo b'choil im yitzias nefesh. And during the weekdays, one is not allowed to close the person's eyes with the departure of life. In other meaning, life is there's still some life breath in the individual. He's like he's about to die, and so that during the weekdays, one is not allowed to close the person's eyes, so that he should die with his eyes closed. And on Shabbos, the prohibition extends even after he has died. The maximim nitzias nefesh, one who does close the eyes together with the person's last breaths, hare ze shofech domim, it's tantamount, it's considered murder. The Gemara. Tonu rabbonon, hama'atzmo im nitzias nefesh, hare ze shofech domim, one who closes the eyes with the upon the death of an individual, meaning together with life departure, that is considered murdered. Moshel l'ner shekovav alechas. The analogy is to a flame or a candle that is dying out, that is gradually extinguishing. Adam niach etzbolel. If a person places his finger on the final glows of a candle, So miyad kafsa, then it immediately goes out. Whereas if you wouldn't have tampered with it, it would have lingered on more. Judaism places an extraordinary amount of importance to even moments of life. And the issue, for example, of quality of life, as you can see, plays practically no role in this matter. Here we're talking about a person who's basically got the last few seconds of life, where one can imagine there isn't much value that one would, let's say, associate in Western terms with such an existence. But nevertheless, you can see how the halacha is strictly prohibiting any hastening of that death. Tanya, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer Haroitze She Yisatzmu Einov Shel Meis, a person who wants the eyes of a corpse to close on Shabbos and not actually physically close the eyes, Nofeach Lo Yayin Bechotmo V'Nosen Shemen Ben Risei Einov, he should blow some wine into its nostrils and place oil between its eyebrows, the oiches bishnei godle raglov, and hold the two thumbs of its feet, the hain misatzmin me'aleihem, and the eyes will close on their own. Tanya, Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, Tinok ben Yomo Chai, Michalanov is a Shabbos, a one day old infant, meaning a newborn, and it has some type of health matter that requires Shabbos violation, so his welfare will supersede Shabbos. David Melech Yisrael, Mace, David the King of Israel, but dead, Ein Mechalin Alov Es HaShabbos. One does not violate Shabbos for an individual, as important as he may be. Tinok ben Yomo Chaim Chavos HaShabbos. The Gemara goes over these two points and says, Omra Torah, the Torah declares, Chaleil Alov Shabbos Echad, violate one Shabbos for its welfare, for its preservation, Kedein Shi Ishmor Shabbos Harbi, in order that it will grow up and then and observe many Shabboses. David Melech Yisrael may say Chavos Shabbos, the King of Israel, a representative of the most important person you can imagine, once he is dead, Ein Mechavos, we don't violate Shabbos for his welfare. Kevon Shemes Adam Botel Min HaMitzvos, when a person dies, he becomes exempt from mitzvah performance. And exempt from not only from performance, but he becomes disconnected from the realm of mitzvos. V'hainu d'yom Rabbi Yochanan. It's based on this that Rabbi Yochanan says, "B'meisim chofshi." This is a posuk in Tehillim, and chofshi in loose terms has to do with freedom. And where is there freedom? In the dead. Kevon shemeis adam, when a person dies, nase chofshi min hamitzvos. He then becomes free from mitzvah obligation. But as long as a person is alive, he is not free, he is bound, he is enslaved, so to speak, to the mitzvahs, if, of course, he should so choose, and if not, so he is enslaved to his own passions and desires. So either way, when you're dealing with a person that is alive, he is enslaved. The concept of being free applies only with regard to the dead. V'tanya, Reb Shimon Ozer Omer, Tinok ben Yomo Chai, Ein Tzorich L'Shomro Min HaChulo U'Min HaAchborim. A one-day-old infant does not have to be guarded from rats and mice. The a human being, by being alive, casts a type of fear over these creatures. Aval Oig Melech HaBoshan Meis, but Og, the king of Boshan, who was a famous biblical figure, a giant, a tremendously imposing figure, but dead. Sorach l'shomro min achuldim min achborim. If you should so choose, he would need to be guarded against the rats and mice. Shenema, the pasuk, describes this phenomenon. it says Umorachem v'chidchem ye. That is the pasuk. Kol zman she'odom chai, as long as a person is alive. And the word chidchem is explained by Rashi loshen chiyuschem, life. So as long as there is life in a person, a mosa mutel salabrios, his fear, the word morachem has to do with fear, his fear is cast upon the other creatures. Kemon shemes, but with the demise of the human being, so that source of fear ceases. Omar of Papa, Nikitinon, Arye, Abe Tre Lo Nofil. Nikitinon, we have a tradition that a lion does not attack two. If there are two people, the lion will not attack to kill. The Rashi points out that this is derived from the word umorachem. The word morachem was, we just saw the line above quoted from the Pasuk in Bereishis, Perek Tes, Pasuk Beis, is in the plural form, and the minimum plural is two. So that your fear, in the plural, two people, is cast upon all creatures, even lions. The Gemara asks, ha koch hazinon denofil, but practice shows, I should say life experience shows, that a lion does attack even two people. How do you explain that in light of your tradition? So the Gemara answers, Ahu kidarami bar abba. We can explain that based on Rami's teaching. The Omar Rami bar abba, ein chaya sheletes ba'adam ad shenidmel loy kibehema. It's been often said that animals have a certain sense, a certain level of knowledge and awareness that maybe in common terms we wouldn't think they have. So Rami Baraba says that a chaya, a wild beast, does not rule over or have a power over a person until that person appears in the eyes of the animal as himself a behema, an animal. The idea being that a person who conducts his life in a, we'll say, a loose, non-halachic or immoral fashion or beastly fashion, so that person then appears not as a person in the eyes of the animal. The animal has a sense of who it is, in whose presence it is found. Shenamar, Odom Bikor, Baal Yolin, Nimshal, Kebehemos, Nidmu. This pasuk means that a chaya that is moshel, and nimshal means is ruled over by animals, it should be known that it has appeared, kebehemos nidmu, such a person has appeared in the eyes of the animal as himself a beast. Omar Rabbi Chanina, also nishon bebayis yechidi, it is forbidden to sleep in a house by oneself, alone. The Cholayoshin Bebayis Yechidi of Sosil Lilis, and anyone who does sleep in a house by himself will be taken over or possessed by Lilis. Lilis is a demonic figure. Vitanya B'Shemozer Omer, Asei Ad Shata Motzei Umotzui Loch, V'Oidcha B'Yodcha. This is presented in a somewhat like riddle form. But once we fill in the missing points, it becomes very clear. So asay means do it, perform charity, tzedakah. Ad shata motse means as long as you find someone to perform it with, to grant the charity, the tzedakah. Umotsui loch means as long as you have the money, the funds. The odcha biyodcha means before one dies. So in simple terms, as long as you still have a chance to do it, so do it. The af Shlomo Omar b'chochmaso, and Shlomo likewise said in his wisdom. And again, we refer to a pasuk in Keheles Perek Yud Beis, but here we're jumping backwards to pasuk Aleph. And it says there, Uzuchor es borecha bimei bachurosecha, remember your Creator in your youth, ad asher lo yavo yemei hara, before the coming of the bad days, elu yemei hazikna. That, the yemei hara is a reference to old age. Old age is a period of time when a person's abilities are quite limited. So remember the Creator and do His will when you are still youthful and have the power to do His will. The pasuk continues, "V'higiu shanim asher tomar ein li bohem chefetz," and again, remember, this is all a continuation of the pasuk that said, "Perform the will of the Creator in your youth, before the years that have no purpose come to them." What do we mean by that? Elu yemei hamoshiach. That's a reference to the days of the Moshiach. She'ein bohem lo zchus v'lo choiva. Those are, that represents a time period when there is no zchus nor choiva. Rashi says, Rashi occupies two columns on this page. So here we're looking at the inside column where Rashi ordinarily appears. On the first narrow line, lo zchus, lo dover lizchus bo, lizakos boi, shekulam ashirim, ashirim. Everyone, the times of Moshiach will be a period of time that everyone will be of means. In other words, you won't have a chance to do tzedakah because there won't be anyone that will require your act of kindness. V'lo chayva, le'ametz leiv, v'likpoitz yad. And that's a time that people will not feel a need to be miserly. So Shlomo is exhorting us to do mitzvahs when we still can. Uplingo d'shmo, the Gemara goes on to say that the approach taken in this source, describing the Yemei HaMashiach, the times of Moshiach, as a times that we would say are like unnatural, a time when everyone is wealthy, is a description of that time period, unlike that of Shmuel. The Omar Shmuel describes the Yemei HaMashiach as follows: Ein Beinu L'Mazeli Mosa Mashiach. There is no difference between our current existence and that period of time called Yemei HaMashiach Elo Shibud Malchios Bilvad. The only difference will be the power, the governmental force that is on top, that is ruling. That in nowadays the Jewish Torah-based government is not in rule. In the times of Moshiach, you'll have a Torah-based Jewish governmental force in rule. As far as income levels and related matters, there will be no difference. Shenamar, the pasuk says, Ki lo yechdal evyon mikerev haretz. Evyon is a reference to the impoverished. Lo yechdal means there will not cease the impoverished from our midst. So that's Shmuel's portrayal of the time period known as Yemoi Samashiach. On other occasions, we've made reference to this, to the general topic of the future, and it's a topic that for that, as far as we are concerned in our Gemara markings Daf Yomi context, we'll just have to say it's a somewhat vague or unknown, unclear time period. But we do know that that time period ushered in by the Messianic period has numerous breakdowns. There are different phases. There's something called Yemoi HaMashiach, there's something called Olam Haba, and there's something called Tchiyas HaMesim. So the controversy between what was presented in this Tanaic source and Shmuel revolves around that time period called Yemei HaMashiach or Yemoi HaMashiach. As we said, with regard to the future, there are other time periods that are not referenced to in this Gemara. As you can see, we have a bracketed section. And if we skip the brackets for a moment, in the bracket length indicator you see to the side of the Gemara text, so you just drop down those lines, and at that point we pick up with Psukim from Koheles, which we started already, Koheles Yudbeis Pasuk Aleph, that was the most recent Koheles quote, and after the bracketed section we will continue with Pasuk Beis. So it gives you a sense of continuity in the Gemara structure. Before we go on in the Gemara, though, we glance at the side where we have a tatnose. This is a subtopic, and we've indicated it's besograyim in the brackets. And here we mention, we're gonna get off the topic of the corpse and the dead and talk about Oni, impoverishment. Is Galgal Shechozer Bolam, it is revolving, that circulates in the world, literally, and we'll see what that means when we get into the Gemara. Continuing with the bracketed section, Tanya, Rebbe Elazar HaKapor Oimer, Le'olam Yivakish Odom Rachamim Al Midazu. One should accustom himself to praying regarding this characteristic, this Midah. This is a reference to poverty, so he should pray that he shouldn't be victim of poverty. Shim hu lo ba bino, that if he himself doesn't enter poverty, well, his son will. Then bino lo ba, and if not his son, ben bino ba, his grandson. Shnemar ki biglal hadavar hazeh. Now this is explained. Tono debay Rabbi Shmuel. Galgal hu shechozer ba'olam. The pasuk ki beglal hadavar hazeh is a reference to the wheel of misfortune, the wheel of poverty, revolves in the world. So that it's this we call as far as if you concentrate on a family line, every family line has its ups and downs, generation after generation. Omar Rabbi Yosef, Nikitinon, Haitzum Rabbonon Lo Mi'ani. Rabbi Yosef says that Nikitinon means we have a tradition that a Tzum Rabbonon, a Talmud Chocham, a Torah scholar, does not become impoverished. The Gemara asks, well, what are you talking about? V'hol kochazino dim'ani. We see Torah scholars that are impoverished. Im Isa dim'ani, if that does happen, Aduria Pischo Lo Mahader. But to go begging on doors, that he will not come to. Omar lo Rabbi Chia Lidvisu. Rabbi Chia says to his wife, Ki osi anyo, when a poor man comes, akdimi le rifta, hasten to give him rifta bread, ki hechi delik demu livnech, so that they will come, so that others will come and give bread quickly to your children. Omro le meilid kolaitis lo, are you cursing our children? In other words, you're saying, give to the poor so that our children who will become impoverished will also receive. Omar lo kroksiv kroksiv. Rav Chia says, I'm not cursing our children. I'm simply referring to that which it says in Psukim. Ki beglal hadavar hazeh. V'tonu debay Rabbi Shmuel galgalu shechozer bolam. The issue of poverty is something cyclical. So that even though we may be comfortable and have the ability to give unto others, somewhere down the line that will change. So that in the merit of our giving to the poor, our children or descendants who will inevitably suffer from impoverishment, as the pasuk indicates, will also be taken care of. Tanya, Rabbi Gamliel Beribi Omer, V'nosa loch rachamecha v'richamcha v'hirbecha, kohem rachim ala brios, all who express compassion for others, for people, merachmin olav min hashamayim, will benefit by heavenly mercy. V'choshenim rachim ala brios, he who does not demonstrate compassion for others, ein rachman olav min hashamayim, will not benefit by having heavenly compassion. As we said before, we go back to Keheles Perikud Beis, in this case Posuk Beis, dealing with the issue of old age and impending death. Ad asher lo techshach hashemesh v'or. We're going to continue breaking down Psukim. And it says that until, literally, it says before darkness sets in, zu padachas v'achoytim. That's a reference to one's forehead and nose. The connection to light and the sun with regard to a forehead. So Rashi says the person's forehead is oftentimes a shiny, glistening part of the body. Like the expression goes, a shining forehead. So it's appropriate for this pasuk making a reference to the sun and light. V'hayoreach zu neshama. The yoreach, which literally is a reference to the moon, is a reference to the neshama. Vakurchovim, the stars that are featured in the Pasuk, Elu ha-lusasas. That's a reference to the jaws. Vishavu he'ovim achar ha-geshem, the reference to the clouds after a rainfall. Zu mo'or enov shel adam sheholech achar ha-bechi. That's a reference to one's eyesight, mooring of his eyesight of a person that sheholech lirim is that it goes, it becomes weakened after bechi, after crying. In the pasuk, a reference was made to rain, and you can make an analogy between tears of crying with the rain. So the shavu he'ovim is a cloud cover, and that has to do with poor eyesight. You know, things like people in as they age, they develop cataracts, which is somewhat common, covering one's eyes. Omar Shmuel. You'll see that we have highlighted a couple of names, Shmuel and Rav Nachman, who make reference to the issue of eyesight. And he says, Shmuel says, "Hai dimaso al arboim shonin hadra." Dimaso is literally is tears, and it would be the, let's say, weakening of eyesight as a result of crying. That eyesight can be restored when up till 40 years of age. Mikan ve'elich lo hadra, but crying and tears and their negative effects on eyesight will be, let's say, of a permanent damage nature, meaning it can't be, whatever dimming takes place, it is not restored. The Omer of Nachman, hai kuchlo ad arboin shonin mavach. Kuchlo is a type of eye ointment or eye application. So he says that it will be marvach, means improve eyesight or restore eyesight up to 40 years. Mikan ve'elech afilu malyo ka'avisno dirgudoi. However, the use of kuchla after 40 years of age, even if you fill up the eyes like you would fill an avisno dirgudoi, is a beam used by weavers on a loom, which is a reference to a large quantity of kuchla put into the eyes. Alkume moikim, it can maintain the current level of eyesight of arvuchi lo mirvach, but will not result in improvement. My komash mulon, what do we learn from this statement of a quantity like avisno dirgirdoi? Answer, the kama de olim mikuchlo tfei mali, that the more kuchla that you apply, the better it is. And of course we said that one will experience this the beneficial characteristics of kuchla as a source of eyesight improvement up till 40 years of age. Rabbi Chanina, unfortunately, suffered the demise of his daughter, Lo Havek HaBochi Alo, and he did not cry over her death. Amalei Devisu, so Devisu, the wife of Rabbi Chanina, said to him, I see you're not crying, so she says, Tarnegolta Afikis Mi Besoch? Have you cast out a chicken from your house? Your daughter just died. Isn't that something to cry over? Omar Lo Tarti, so Rabbi Chanina says to his wife, you expect me to suffer two setbacks? Tichlo v'ivra. Tichlo is death. That's already enough, right? And I should experience ivra, blindness as well. This, of course, is in the context of that which we just learned, that tears and crying dim one's eyesight. So why should I, in addition to experiencing the pain of the bereavement, also bring upon myself dimmed eyesight? So of our law, ki ha di omar Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Yossi ben Katsarta. He holds, like the teaching of Rabbi Yochanan, sheish demois hein, there are six types of tears. Sholosh yafas v'sholosh ros, three which are positive, beneficial, and three which are negative. Shel Oshan, and here we had a list of, you can see we've noted as Aleph and Beis. The Gemara now presents, itemizes these lists in reversed order, starting with the Ros, the Beis list first. And that's what our markings indicate. Shel Oshan, tears generated by smoke. Shel Bechi, crying. The Shel, we're at the top of Kuf Nun Beis, Omen Aleph. The Shel Beis HaKisei, this is tears experienced by the pain the pain one experiences when trying to relieve his bowels. Ro'os, those tears shed under those three circumstances are negative. However, and here's the Aleph, the first list, the positive ones, shel sam, v'shel schok, v'shel peros, things that are, tears that are a result of sam. Sam is some type of medicine. Schok is joy, or what they call these crying out of laughter. And peros might be a reference to something like, what Rashi says is his example, Re'ach Hardol. Hardol is often translated as mustard or sharp mustard, possibly things like onions as well might fall into this category, are yafos. Those kind of tears are positive. As you can see with the Gemara, the Gemara will continue with psukim from Koheles. In this case, we see Koheles Yud Beis Pasuk Gimel is featured, but in the context of our Daf Yomi Shiur, being that we've turned already to a new Daf, with this, we conclude our Shiur for today.